Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. CG and I get to talking behind the scenes, and we were discussing the politics of like Washington, D.C. I don't know. But there is right now kind of a gleeful thing happening. According to this headline, Democrats see GOP shutdown threat as opening for 2014 election gains. Democrats are working hard to exploit massive unrest in the Republican Party over the looming government shutdown, which many see as one of their best chances of holding the Senate or even the House in next year's midterm elections. What, Margaret?
Well, I've got to laugh. They're always talking about massive unrest with the Republicans, and the Republicans can't get it together. Of course they can't get it together. This is a party that continually tries to take a woman like... And believe me, Phil, I really think the way forward is for those of us on the liberal side to reach out and to try and understand the conservative... our co-patriot, our fellow citizen who is a conservative. And to that end, a great many of us try to have the dialogue and say to them, why do you insist on this destructive woman like Palin? Her name never goes away. It's always there. And the reason why I think it's always there is because I think the conservatives really want to make Sarah Palin work somehow. They want to wedge her in. They want to...
Make a square peg fit on the hole.
Yes, that's good, Bud. Make a square peg fit in a round hole.
In a round hole.
Yeah.
I think that's a good point. And now I've lost my place.
Well, I mean, he had an opinion.
Yeah, but every time he comes in with that, I dig it. I'm sorry, Bud. I appreciate you, and I think you're a wonderful young man. But when you come lurching in... And that's the only way I can put it. You lurch into the room almost Frankenstein-esque with the, I think.
Well, they said I could do it.
He just gave a little opinion there, Margaret.
I know, but he lurched with it and...
What do you mean he lurched?
You talk about him lurching in?
You know what I mean by that.
No, I don't.
I'm talking, I'm saying, Phil, this and that, and then I hear, B-d-d-d-d-d. It's a lurch. He bellowed in. You see, never mind. I mean, the point that I'm making here...
Well, I didn't lurch in.
Yes, you did lurch in.
Will you forget about whether he lurched in or not? Good Lord.
Phil, you know I don't like being addressed that way.
I apologize, Margaret. Forget it. He had this opinion. He said, you even liked the opinion he had.
It was fine. It's not anything I'm writing. I'm not getting out my notebook and saying, Dear Frank... What are you laughing at now?
Nothing, nothing, nothing.
Well, you're laughing at something. Would you get David Hall, please?
Oh, come on, Margaret.
Would you get David Hall, please?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, now it's yes, ma'am. First you're lurching in, and now it's yes, ma'am.
Why get David?
Please get David Hall.
Yeah. So, in other words, I got to listen to David because of why.
Get David Hall, please.
Margaret, you can talk to me, can't you? Can't you talk to me?
Is David Hall there?
David, yeah. Yeah, Margaret. Yeah, well, Phil... He's saying she's being retarded.
I am not.
Hold on for a minute. Yeah. I got Daphne and I are out. She wants to see the Christmas lights.
The Christmas lights? It's September.
I told her that.
What country is she from?
Well, that's very insulting, Phil. She's an American.
Then why does she want to go see the Christmas lights?
You gonna let me finish? There are Christmas lights that are kept up by some of the houses year-round. I don't know why they do it, but they do. So she wants me to look for them.
I've never seen a house keep up Christmas... I know that they keep lights up.
Yeah, there you go, baby. And if they keep them up, maybe they light them. So that's what she's got me doing tonight.
In between stopping off at Krispy Kreme?
Forget it.
Where is David Hall?
He hung up.
Get him back on the phone.
Look, he doesn't want to talk to me any more than I want to talk to him, okay?
Get David Hall, please.
What are you going to ask him about, okay? Do you mind me asking you that? Great. I'm sorry that I laughed at you.
Phil, the Krispy Kreme line was way out of line. Way out of line.
You're out driving around, I assume that's what...
Yeah, she's going to want to go there. Do you have to point it out to the entire audience? I got a girlfriend. I love her very much. But I got a problem. I got a problem, and the problem is she won't do anything. She won't make one move, and I mean she won't make any move intimately or otherwise unless she's got a box of those sitting in front of her. Now, you can call it what you want.
You know, you're going to be stuck with a 400-pound woman here pretty soon.
No. I don't think so.
Why not?
Because I won't let it happen.
You're letting it happen? You got her going out and getting Krispy Kreme.
She's not going out. I am. And when she says to me, as she often does, I shouldn't do that. Ow, don't come on, honey. I'm just kidding around. When she says to me, can we go get some? I'm the guy that controls whether we stop or not. Like right now, you want me to stop for Krispy Kreme, don't you?
Okay.
What?
I won't tell.
Well, she says she doesn't care, but I know she does.
Okay, so good luck finding Christmas lights that are lit, man, in September, and good luck with that whole Krispy Kreme. What can I do for you?
I'm calling up because I heard Margaret trying to make a point about Bud lurching in, and you were laughing at her, and I don't think that that is the way that we are going to be conducting ourselves. I realize we're doing this on the air, and I realize that you don't like me doing this with you on the air, but you also gave me the green light to call up and correct course, as you called it, correct the course of the show when need be.
Yeah, I didn't know that it was going to be a you know...
No, you don't get the jump. But I didn't know it was going to be a... And you got the guts to talk about Daphne? And you're making fun of the way she talks?
No, you made fun of the way she talks.
Yeah, but you laughed at it.
No, whatever, man. You're the guy that's talking about her sitting there going...
How dare you? So, in other words, you just mocked what she sounds like when her throat is...
constricted?
Goodbye.
Sorry. I'm sorry.
Oh, my God. My ears are blown out by that. You got your juvenile kicks, okay? You got your little juvenile kicks. Now, can we get back to the point here? When he comes lurching in with, I don't know whether to crap or fall in it.
I'll tell you what, I'm simply going to say the following thing. You were making some very good points on the political, shall we say, the political tug of war or wrestling match that's happening in this country, and we just got sidetracked because you didn't like him lurching in with square peg and round hole.
All right, that's a good point.
Yeah, see what I'm saying? I mean, you just let it go, and we can continue hearing the points that you're making.
All right, well, the point that I am making...
My, hurry up.
You dirt...
Hey, watch. But don't do that.
The point that I'm making is the following point. I think as liberals, we need to reach out to the conservatives and say, we understand the pain that you're in. We understand that you want fiscal spending, and you have all of those things that you need. But we're asking a concession from you. We're asking you, and I'm going to put it the way my son Jason J. Delmonico put it. He put it very beautifully. He said, Mom, why do they weird out? And so I put this the way our kids would put it. Don't weird out on us. Be as approachable as you can be. The anger and the strange, odd behaviors, these things have got to go.
Well, who are you talking about? You're talking about Rick Santorum.
Yes, I'm talking about Rick Santorum. He is a real oddball, and I don't even think the conservative movement likes him. There's a guy that's running for lieutenant governor in Virginia. This guy by the name of Eddie something or other, and who's named Eddie anymore other than guys that are racetrack touts?
Race crap?
I didn't say race crap. I said racetrack. Racetrack touts. And I don't know what. People that get Broderick Crawford drinks in Born Yesterday, you know.
That was Benny, but go ahead. Look, why is everything such a big depressing thing when I jump in with a little comment that kind of, you know...
Kind of what?
Kind of just stops you in your tracks. Just so you want the conservatives not to weird out. That means get rid of Santorum.
That means get rid of guys like Santorum and that flake case they're running for lieutenant governor in Virginia. That's a guy that believes that if you play with it, if you'll pardon the expression, Phil, I'm sorry, but this is, he thinks that if you, as you put it, if you thumb it, you're allowing the devil into your hand. See, this is what I'm talking about.
You put me on that. I got to really believe that.
I think Margaret's right, yeah.
You better believe I'm right.
They got this guy, the religious, there's all elements of religious people in this country, and the religious right, the religious left, whatever you want to call it, they're all, the extreme religious element in the political dialogue is always destructive. It never helps. Never, ever, ever helps. It's destructive, and fortunately, the American people, what's with you?
You want to hurry it up?
Hey, bud, knock it off with the hurry it up.
He did that to me, and you wouldn't let me...
Hey!
Watch it. I'll slug him. We'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We have Jack Armstrong coming in, who is our resident liberal, if you will. Jack is going to be talking with us about what we've been talking about here in this last quarter hour, once we got past all the Krispy Kreme donut dialogue, is just exactly how this the other kind of dialogue, the political dialogue in this country, can become more civilized. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 855-500-7445. I know.
You really got to pull it together.
I know. Anyway, welcome back. Phil Hendry Show here. World famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. What am I looking at on TV, bud?
That's the cruise cam.
That ain't the cruise cam. That's some imam from Iran. Where is that, man? Is that the United Nations?
Well, I thought that was the cruise cam, that nut from the Tea Party.
Does that guy look like a Tea Party guy?
I don't know what they're doing, Phil.
A lot of Tea Party will dress up in a nutty way.
Does that look like a Tea Party guy to you? That's a guy from Iran with the turban and everything.
You don't know, Mr. Sonny. If you ever been, you go to a Tea Party rally, they are all kind of fright wigs, every kind of costume.
The Tea Party people are known for that. I understand that.
When's the last time the Tea Party people were invited to address the UN dressed as an Iranian Ayatollah?
I don't know. I don't...
Oh, come on. That looks like it's at the United Nations. I see the president giving it is the United Nations, and he's giving a speech here, and I think it may have to do... I'm going to tell you something. I think Obama... Well, I better not keep my mouth shut, you know.
Why don't you just say what you want to say?
I don't want to say it. But I, as far as I'm concerned, the president is right on, man. I mean, you know, he let the Russians run around and do all that stuff. Let the Russians run around and make peace and make nice and break bread with the Syrians. That's good. That's a good job for them. You go over there and you say, oh, hi, are you the Russians? Yes. Well, guess what? We've got a bunch of bombs and missiles that we've got earmarked for Syria. Now, if there's anything you want to do about that, besides talk tough, because we know you guys haven't, you couldn't rub two nickels together to make the buffaloes mate. What do you think about that, Putin? And so Putin runs off and gets he's talking to all these Syrians.
Well, I think that that's the case, but...
Well, we're going to get on Jackson Armstrong, and we have Vernon Dozier as well, representing both sides of this debate here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. The number is 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. And I realize that this has been my point of view for a long time, and I realize that some people... You know, when you make too much sense, the first thing people will say is, don't you have anything new to say? No, that's pretty much the way I see it, man. Jack Armstrong with us here from Minneapolis, and Vernon Dozier is in Glendale, California. Jack, I'm going to start with you. What did I just say about the president? And let's talk about the budget, first of all, and this filibuster by Cruz. What do you think?
There's no question that Ted Cruz is... a real kook. I think pretty much people understand that his histrionics are not very meaningful in the overall scheme of things. Right now, the Democrats are in the driver's seat because the Republicans are eating themselves. They're in the middle of a civil war or something. There's nothing that anybody can do about it, and I think that. So the Democrats are in the driver's seat, and the Republicans, they're not in no driver's seat, see? So to me, all they have to do is wait, and eventually the president's going to move forward and get funding for the different, get the government rolling again. And as far as Syria goes, you know, sure they want to have diplomacy, that's very important. And you want to have diplomacy on the Iran situation, too. That's very important, too. But I don't see anything wrong with what you just said, Phil, which is that the you know, the Russians can go down and do all the heavy lifting there with Syria, and America can sit back, you know, polish the missiles and aim them and look through the site, make sure that they got a couple of nice, sweet buildings, you know, keyed in.
You know, I don't like, Jack, I'm a liberal like you, but the idea of polishing the missiles and aiming them...
Well, I mean, that's what we should do. I agree with what Phil said. Let the Russians go down there and break bread with the Syrians and try to get them to see sense. That's not what we're going to do. What we're doing is we're polishing the missiles, looking through the site. Oh, there's a nice mosque. I think we can... You know, things like that.
Well, I don't think it's quite that cavalier. Vernon Dozier joining us from Glendale, California, taking a decidedly anti-administration view. Vernon, how are you?
I'm doing good, Phil. And hi, Jack. How are you doing? It's been a while.
Yeah, it has been a while. How you been?
I'm doing great. I got a million things I want to say. I don't know where you want me to start.
Well, let's just start with the... Let's start with the filibuster and the Tea Party filibuster and the government shutdown.
All right, let's start with that. You know, just to recap some of the things that I've heard here, I've heard a little bit of, and I know that everybody is trying to, as Margaret said, reach out. And, all right, I would love a little bit of that. But when you turn right around and you say Ted Cruz looks like he come out of a, you know, a mental hospital, and I believe that's what I heard.
What I heard was there was a guy dressed as the Ayatollah.
There's a guy dressed as the Ayatollah. Well, you know.
No, but I said, who is that guy? And my crew here thought it was a Tea Party guy.
I didn't know who it was. Vernon, I'm not trying to start anything. I didn't know who it was.
Yeah, but I heard what Phil said. How likely is it that a Tea Party guy is addressing the United Nations dressed in that getup? And that was a very authentic get-up. I know a lot of people in the Tea Party, and I've seen them get into their costumes and go out into the fields and into the parks, and they roam in these areas, or they get together, obviously. I'm not saying they're roaming around in between parked cars. And that would be frightening. And I think you have to give that to the Tea Party, that they're not doing that. You know, Phil? Phil?
What?
What I just said.
Yeah, I'll give to the Tea Party what?
They're not wandering between...
He's saying that the Tea Party is... They're not wandering between parked cars.
They're not wandering between parked cars.
Never mind, Phil. It's all right. It's not a big thing. But what I'm saying is, when you talked about this guy Cruz doing a filibuster from the Tea Party, I said, well, that's fine. That is his right as a representative, and certainly that's the political... That's the political gamesmanship. But I think to attribute to that man the mental capacity... Of some near imbecile chained to a wall in a London madhouse, as one might imagine, you know, a half-wit who's let out of his cage once a week to play a flute on a excuse me, I'm just saying.
No, I don't think anybody's saying that.
Well, I think I heard that because, again, I'll go back to what I heard.
Why are you fixating on that? We're trying to move past that.
Of course you're trying to move past it, I'd like to move past it too, but when you say that, is that a Tea Party guy, and he's dressed up in that getup, that's very inflammatory.
What I was asking, and let me say this, Vernon, I saw a gentleman addressing the United Nations. I said, who is he? He was addressing the United Nations on a split screen as I was watching it. President Obama was on one side, this man who is an obvious religious cleric, and he looked to be a cleric from Iran. He was wearing the same clerical robes and garb and headpiece that the Muslim imams in Iran wear. That's why I thought, well, he must be the Ayatollah, the whoever that guy is these days, you know.
Well, why didn't you say that instead of, you know?
Well, I thought I did.
No, you didn't. You said, well, who is that? And that's when Bud Dickman and Margaret Dickman and Bud Gray...
My name is Margaret Gray.
I'm sorry, Margaret Gray and Bud Dickman said, you know, that's a Tea Party guy. See, that's the kind of slander.
All right, well, you know, if we're going to get petty...
How is that petty?
I think it is petty. I think you're just leaning too much on the fact that they said that guy from Iran looked like a Tea Party guy.
I think it's accusing the... the conservatives of a kind of almost comparing us to traitors.
No.
No, it's not at all. It's simply saying that you've got people in your movement that really need help. Don't you agree with that?
You know.
All right, hold on for a minute. We have to take a break. We're going to be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and talk a little bit more here as we discuss what's going on in the confines of the District of Columbia in terms of Republican versus Democrat, conservative versus liberal, government shutdown, Obamacare, Syria, Iran, you mama. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We're here every night on the West Coast from 7 to 10, on the East Coast 10 to 1. Very happy to be with you. We welcome great new affiliates to our affiliate list. I'm not trying to sidestep who they are. I want to get very prepared here, man. You know, on our next break, I want to find out. I want to lead the hour with some of our new affiliates.
I think you should, and I think you should do that every single show, every single hour with new affiliates. A new affiliate listing.
Yeah, I think that's pretty good, Mr. Hendry.
Thank you. All right, so we'll do that. So we do have some people joining the Phil Hendry Show Network, and we'll tell you who they are. Just great stations. As we've always said, our stations, our sponsors, our listeners are the... I mean, there's radio, and then there's the Phil Hendry Show, and we've always felt that way.
I like that. Do you...
Yeah, we're using it. I'm going to be using it. There's radio, there's Phil Hendry, and then there's radio. I don't know which way it should go. There's Phil Hendry, and then there's radio.
No, I think there's radio, and then there's Phil. Yeah, there's radio, and then there's Phil Hendry.
Yeah, there's radio, and then there's Phil Hendry, and then there's, you know.
No, I don't know. What do you mean, you know?
Well, there's radio, then there's you, and there's, who's what's the man? Beck, right?
Beck?
You mean Glenn Beck?
No. Who's the one? Beck. He just has one name.
You mean the guitar player?
Yes. What's that got to do with me? I'm saying there's radio, then there's Phil Hendry, then there's Beck.
Oh, okay. And then there's, you know, the guy that plays fiddle on a street corner there in New York at 5 o'clock every afternoon and does your portrait, too. And then there...
What does that mean?
Well, what does it mean to say that Beck... Hey, folks, there's radio, then there's Phil Hendry, and then there's ballet.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, man.
You know, everything is funny to you, and it hurts. When you go, it hurts. It doesn't hurt my heart so much as it hurts... Excuse me for saying this, but I had hemorrhoid surgery, you know that.
Okay, folks, we're now going to hear about Margaret's hemorrhoids.
No, we are not. I'm simply saying that it hurts me there.
Yeah, well, maybe that's on account of...
You filthy mind...
Hey!
What? No, up.
Watch it!
Don't tell me to watch it when he's making references like that.
Margaret, you brought it up. It hurts. It hurts, Phil. Not in my heart, where I just had hemorrhoid surgery.
Well, that's where it hurts.
Yeah, well, maybe...
What? Shut up, bud, because I won't hold her back next time.
He doesn't hold me back, and you are nothing but something in an ashtray. Now, that's a promise from me to you.
All right, our number is 855-500-7445. I'm going to tell you something. If I hear any more threats of violence and death on this show, I'm going to have some people arrested. What do you think of that?
Oh, get a load of you.
That's right, terrorist threats. On the phone with me is Jack Armstrong and Vernon Dozier as we continue to talk here about the proposed, you know, all kinds of things. The government shutdown, Ted Cruz. He is saying, quote, he will talk until... I am no longer able to stand. That was the latest thing, Jack Armstrong.
Well, he says he's going to talk until he's no longer able to stand. Does that mean he's going to talk until he can't stand it, or is he going? He's going to talk until he's not able to stand, but he's going to talk until I can't stand it. And I think
you had to really run a long way for that one, didn't you?
What's that?
I said you had to run a long way for that one.
Vernon Dozier is with us. Hold on, Vernon. Let me just hear what Jack has to say here.
No, you're right about that, Vernon. I did run a long way for that one, but sometimes you have to run a long way to catch the deep drive. You know, if Willie Mays did that, a lot of different guys done that. You know,
We're not talking about... It's not the same. You ran a long way for a pop fly, is what I'm saying.
Okay, well, whatever. Republican Ted Cruz of Texas took to the Senate floor on Tuesday to discuss the shutdown debate in remarks that headed deep into the night. So this guy wants to go deep into the night, and where I am, I'm in Minneapolis, Minnesota right now, Phil, so... And the time where you are 8, so it's 10:38 here, so it's 11 o'clock, 11:30 in Washington, D.C., and this guy is trying to talk to prevent any funding for Obamacare. This is a guy that is an ideologue to a fault. Forget about whether or not in the long run Obamacare is going to be better for the American consumer. There's been a war of BS on this thing, and the American people have had their heads held in a trough of waste, of animal waste, and they're not allowed to stick their head up and breathe the fresh, clean air of truth. And the guy that's holding their head down right now is this guy, Ted Cruz.
Well, you know, that's all fine, Jack, and those are very, very beautiful words, and it's very floral. But I don't think it stands a test. I think that the Obamacare package is far from saving the American consumer money. I have seen studies that says it's going to cost the American consumer money.
Yeah, but what about the holding people's heads down in animal waste?
You know, I did not interrupt you, sir, and I'd appreciate it if you not interrupt me. Okay.
I think that's a fair point, Jack.
Okay.
You know, I didn't interrupt you, so I'd appreciate if you not interrupt me.
All right, okay.
You know, I'm letting you say what you want to say.
I know, okay, go ahead, God.
All right, I mean, don't be... Anyway, I still, Mr. Henry, I want to know what country this guy is from.
I come from America, okay? You know where that is, don't you?
Yeah, I know where it is, because I was born there. Now, where were you born?
That's irrelevant to what we're talking about, you know? We talk about the Obamacare and whether or not, and, you know, I think this is so indicative, Mr. Henry, that with these conservatives, you beat them on a question of the numbers and the math. Now they want to attack you on the basis of what country you come from. To me, this stinks to high heaven. It stinks. And to just, again, use the metaphor.
I know, we're putting your heads into a big, big bucket of animal waste. I think that's a metaphor that you like.
No, you're trying to tell me I enjoy that? No, I don't.
You guys haven't talked one second about Obamacare.
Are you talking to us?
Yeah.
Yes, I'm talking to you. You've been going back and forth about sticking somebody's head in a bucket of animal waste. I'm telling you, I don't know whether to laugh or to cry when I hear some of these debates. What are you guys saying about Obamacare? You start, Vernon.
I'm saying what I have said all along, what conservatives have said all along, and what Ted Cruz is very bravely saying tonight. And that is that Obamacare will put this country into a trough of debt. It's not a bucket of animal waste, Mr. Armstrong. This is simply a trough of debt. It's a bucket of debt that we will be underneath for a long, long time. And why is that? Because of this socialized view. Can I finish, Mr. Henry?
Go ahead. Please don't do that, Jack.
Because of a socialized view... What is it with you, man? What's up with you?
I can't take it when you talk about a socialized... You guys...
Can I finish?
You asked me a question, man.
You did ask him the question.
All right. So I'm done asking you a question. The Obamacare is, in my way of thinking and in my view, socialism.
No.
Would you ask him to stop doing that?
Come on, Jack, cut it out. You're doing that on purpose.
Well, I mean, what am I supposed to do? I'm listening to this guy. This guy is like he is a dumb fungus. You know, I'm trying to scrub it off and I...
Oh, I'm a dumb fungus. Is that what I heard you say?
Yes, sir, because every time you open your mouth, now I got to get some more. It's like I got to keep a can of no-dumb to spray my crotch. I don't know how else to say it.
You know a lot of different ways of saying it. You're saying it in an inflammatory way to make me look like some guy that is the harbinger of, well, what you just said, like crotch rot. That is, you know, I can't believe this conversation, Phil.
No, neither can I. But I don't blame Jack alone. I blame you for your petty interruptions, for you and Jack, you with the oh. You guys are talking about something that the American people are very, very seriously interested in, and that is whether or not our government is going to keep going. Are we funding it? Just exactly is this an ideological battle with any roots in any real concern for the American people, or is this just a peeing match based upon ego? Because that's what I think it is. I think that what has happened to this country is there is a sort of a hierarchy of conservatives and liberals, and they just pee on each other all day long, and the rest of us got to sit here and wait and see when they declare a winner.
Well, I think that is absolutely wrong when it comes to our side. I mean, you know, if you talk about peeing on each other, what Ted Cruz is doing?
Yeah, that's what Ted Cruz is doing. He's taking one long pee.
No, he's not. He is trying to wake up the liberals before it's too late. All across the country, he said, Americans are suffering because of Obamacare. Obamacare isn't working.
Yeah, according to Ted Cruz, because you think you're going to find a guy that is a Tea Party guy who's going to admit that?
Do you think you're going to find a guy with God? You know, it's like talking to the guy that sells those Aztec calendars at the border. I can't...
All right, okay, all right, hold on for a minute, because the conversation once again, this debate once again... You know, these guys, they get sidetracked by every little, anything.
Well, I think Ted is such he's a petty little man making fun of Jack's accent.
I don't think Jack should have to say where he comes from. By the same token, if it would just shut this guy up, just tell us.
Then what I say?
Where's he from, man?
You don't want to say.
Is it Europe?
He won't say.
All right, we're going to come back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show with more of this marvelous conversation. It is Jack Armstrong along with Vernon Dozier as they discuss what's happening right now in Washington, D.C., and that is the filibuster here of Ted Cruz. We were starting off briefly there with a discussion of Syria and Iran, and we will get back to that as well. As we talk a little bit of politics here, in fact, I don't think we've talked much politics at all. It's been about having your head in a bucket of waste.
Well, I think that is a good analogy.
Yeah, it's great.
Don't blow me off like that.
You said blow.
So I said blow. So what?
Just, we'll be right back on a world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our number 855-500-7445. The world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. All right, welcome back here to the Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. By the way, my good friend Barry Louise, you know, Margaret.
Well, she's working back there for Terry McAuliffe.
Yeah, she's in the D.C. area working on behalf of Terry McAuliffe. They had a debate. She's Barry's a super liberal, just like CJ's a super conservative. But both of these girls, CJ and Barry, both are mountain girls.
All right.
That's right. To quote that guy in the movie Mate Want, man, you're about the prettiest little piece of mountain trash I ever did see.
That's so insulting.
I'm kidding. Come on. When I first met her, she said, I come from the mountains, so I knew exactly what I was dealing with. No,
Tim, just on account of she come from the mountains doesn't mean she's a liberal.
No, it doesn't mean anything. It means she comes from the mountains. Although CJ's from the mountains of Arkansas and Barry's from the mountains of West Virginia...
Well, yeah. See, Arkansas is going to be more conservative because of the distance from Arkansas to Washington. It's a long... It's very remote. It's very... And the further you go from the seat of power, the more the people are going to just be doing whatever they feel like doing. And Arkansas is one of those very remote outposts in our union where we don't really know what happens there. They have sent people in.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about Arkansas.
Yeah?
Well, what are you talking about?
What do you mean a remote outpost where they're sending people in?
Phil, they've sent people into Arkansas and they haven't come out. Go ahead and laugh at that, funny boy.
Is he serious?
What? Margaret, why don't you get serious, okay?
I... Boy, you know something? If you weren't the host of this show, I'd go ahead and just put a knee right in there. You don't know about that.
You know the Clintons from Arkansas? You know that Arkansas is a state in the Union? Arkansas has cities, freeways. It's got one of the biggest airports in the country. Did you know that? Did you know that Arkansas is one of the busiest airports in the country?
And people have gone in there and not come out.
Yeah, and they've gone... What's that? They have shoes. Also, CJ says they have Jews, too. So...
Well, that...
They do. They have every kind of convenience. I'm joking, my Jewish listeners. So...
You talk about Jews in Mississippi.
Yeah, there's Jewish people in... of course there's Jewish people in Mississippi, but there's a very significant Jewish population in the Delta, in the Mississippi Delta, that's true. And they're all super, super Mississippi people with the overalls, and they have the yarmulke.
Oh, would you get serious?
I'm telling you the truth. I saw this... on your favorite channel, PBS.
You saw some Jewish people in overalls and yarmulkes.
Exactly. In the Mississippi Delta. And it's a little community of Jewish people in Mississippi.
Well, what country are they from?
Have you ever heard of the United States of America?
Phil, don't be a smartass.
Well, then don't ask a stupid question. They're from America.
Well, that's not adding up.
Why doesn't... You know what? It doesn't add up to you or I because we don't know anything about this country. There's so much more to learn about America, the very country we live in, than you can shake a stick at. That's what we ought to all be doing. We ought to learn more about this place called America because it'll blow your freaking mind, the stuff that's out there and the people that live here and the things that they've done and the places they've been.
They got people in a horse and buggy like the Amish.
Well, that ain't no secret.
Man, the Amish, everybody know about them. I was just saying, they're in a buggy.
So they're in a buggy, so what?
The Amish are on TV every week, Bud, with the Amish Mafia. Isn't that what it is?
I don't know what that crap is.
Well, you better watch it.
Watch what?
Is that the Amish Mafia?
Well, they're not going to come out. What do you think they're going to do? Buggy whip them to death? Buggy whip them to death.
All right, enough. Can we get back to our guests that have been on hold for very patiently here for these many minutes? Vernon Dozier and Jack Armstrong. All right, Jack, I think you had the floor. Go ahead.
Vernon, you know, look, I, in the spirit of what Ms. Gray was talking about, I want to reach out. I want to try to, bridge over the differences here. All I'm trying to say is, you know, you can say what you want about Obamacare, but this is a discussion that the American people have been wanting to have for decades. Look, you know, Vernon, you're a teacher. Health care has been a reality in this world of ours for over 100 years. This is something that America is coming too late to the game, and it's very tragic, my friend, very tragic indeed, I think, for the American people to commence a discussion on health care, and they're commencing that discussion with misinformation, purposeful misinformation, that I think is wrong.
Well, I'd like to know what you mean by purposeful misinformation, and please don't answer, because it's a rhetorical question. I mean... we have tried to inform ourselves, the American people, the best way we know how. Now, I don't care if health care is over 100 years old. This is the United States of America. And we have always gone our own way. We've done our own thing. The rest of the world can, in the words of the poet, go to hell in a pea-green boat for all I care. I'm an American. We go our own way. And that song Margaret sings. How's that, Margaret?
You can go your own way. That one?
Yeah. That's the song... that the Clintons, remember when they came into the power vacuum that was Washington and they got elected and you can go your own way. Well, I'm going my own way now, pal, and I'll tell you what, Bill, it ain't your way. Because the way you go and the way I go, two different ways, okay?
Well, I could say so. Well, I won't say anything.
Yeah, please don't make a joke here. What I'm trying to say is this. Ted Cruz is doing his constitutional best to get us to at least think about this destructive road that we're going down that can really ruin this country for many, many years to come. I think that...
So what do you... I have to ask a question.
I'm not done.
Well, I want to ask a question. What do you do about the trillions of dollars every year in health care costs? Now, you guys have not had one sensible suggestion. You come up with this tort reform, this, that. What you guys have done is you've taken the Obama package, the package you say that doesn't work... the package you say that's disastrous, the package you say, and now what you're doing to answer the healthcare question is you want to tweak the Obama ideas. The conservatives have never had one good idea on this.
That's just not right, Phil. That is not right.
No, that Phil is absolutely right. You guys had the tort reform thing. You said that a bunch of, you know, be able to buy insurance across state lines and everything. You know, and that's not, that doesn't amount to a hill of you know what.
Yes, it does. Tort reform was several billion dollars.
Several billion dollars off of trillions of dollars. See, that's what we're talking about here, Vernon. You're going to stand on ceremony, you know.
I'm not standing on ceremony. I'll tell you this. I don't want to keep debating a guy who comes on here and goes, I think that you are going, you know, there was a guy.
See, this guy doesn't want to have a serious discussion.
No, but there was a guy called Jose Jimenez. Do you remember him?
No, I don't, you know, and that's too bad for you. Too bad for you.
Oh, too bad for me. Hey.
He hung up.
Who did?
Jack.
What a baby. I mean, what a complete...
All right, thank you very much. We got to get going. We are done with this hour here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We will be back next hour. A few more things to get to here on the agenda. But we do thank Vernon as well as Jackson, or Jack, I should say, because you know, he doesn't want to confuse himself with the great Jackson Armstrong. Jack, we thank you, and we thank you, Vernon, for that attempt at a debate. And I think, really, those two guys, as stupid as they are, that's about what the debate sounds like in this country on healthcare. I'm Phil Henry, and we'll be right back, 855-500-7445.